But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's check in with Darryl Carpenter, where they had a snowstorm on Grand Isle this week. And, man, that is a very rare occasion. Darryl, did you check into the history of when the last time it snowed on Grand Isle was?
I've been asking, Don, and can't find a living soul that has really seen it. I'm hearing back, what was the record, back in the 1800s or whatever. I've heard it's had snow on it before, but nothing like what we had this. I mean, we had full-out blizzard conditions. I mean, it's hard to say. I know the official estimate was somewhere around 8 to 10 inches of snow, but it's hard to measure it because it came with 30-mile-an-hour wind, so it was a full-on blizzard, and it was a real light, fluffy snow. Had just as much under my house as I had out in the yard because it was all getting blown in. So, yeah, we were iced in an ice skating ring there for a couple of days.
Yeah, I think that's what they call a drift. I'm not sure. I'm not a snow expert, but I think they call that a snow drift when it piles up like that. Well, what are the after effects? I guess there's a lot of people with broken pipes because of so many camps raised up off the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I'll be changing professions for the next week or so. I'm going to be a shade tree fire plumber because there's a whole lot of people that's needing pipes fixed. But, you know, the thing that's on our mind and like, you know, like everybody else and kind of like you open the show is we're worried about what the fish kill is going to look like. I've seen some pictures of regional, you know, little localized fish kills. I've gotten word that there were some pretty significant fish kills, trout washing up on the beaches on Elmers and Fouchon. Haven't seen any pictures of it yet, though. Haven't seen it with my own eyes. It's just like you, it's third-party reports at this point. But it's a little bit concerning. We had such a good year shaping up. It was going to be so good after last year that, you know, we hope that our new crop survives. We hope that those fish, you know, that were bordering on that 10, those last year fish that were 10, 11 inches coming into the season, we hope they survive real good. And we certainly don't want to lose a whole lot of those big fish that we had last year.
Absolutely. Well, has anybody ventured out since the freeze? Have you talked to anybody that's gone out and tried?
I haven't, Don. In fact, you know, the situation I'm in is the water is so daggum low that I don't even think I can get out of my canal right now. So, I mean, it's been one of those, like I said, it was brutal, not just the temperatures, but when you get down in those coastal waters, it was coming with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So I'm sure our wind chill factor was well below zero. Really hadn't talked to anybody that's been out because it's been, I think everybody went home, hunkered down, and, you know, protected their pipes for the most part.
Now, we were talking about jerk baits. You ever use jerk baits?
Rarely. I mean, over the last several years, I've gotten more into, you know, going back to my old roots as a bass fisherman and using more plastic and fake baits than live bait. But when I do, it's usually the Rapalas or the Yuzuris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Yuzuri's a great bait. I don't think I've ever found an artificial bait with sharper hooks than what comes on that Yuzuri.
And that's the part. Look, as a charter captain, you're rarely using those baits unless you're on the boat by yourself.
I know why.
Because
they're dangerous.
Yeah, you can't get it out of people's head that, hey, you don't have to swing for the fences with every bite, you know, because those hooks are coming flying back at you when you do.
Yeah, and the casting can be hazardous, too, especially with those baits.
Yeah.
Well, Darryl, listen, still hoping that you and I can get together and do the spawning sheephead thing. That should be coming up pretty soon. We'll head out there to the new Gulf of America. It's a new hotspot for sheephead offshore.
Yeah, you know, Don, it's coming up. Just give me a call and we'll get it organized and what it'll be. You know, this cold's going to set everything back a little bit. But,
yeah. You
know, come the end of this month, well, we're in the finals of January, but especially come mid-February into March, so sheephead will start stacking up real hard on those close-in rigs, you know, just off Grand Island, just off of Fouchon's Beach. It'll be just it's how many dead shrimp do you bring with you, you know, as far as how many fish you want to catch.
Right. Well, Darryl, if you see or hear of any fish kills or confirm them, please let me know. And ask people to send photos. You know, it's easy enough. Everybody's got one in their pocket on their cell phone. You can take pictures, and that verifies the species and location, and then we can get a better handle on it. But overall, from what I'm seeing now, I think fish kills to this point appear to be minor and nothing like in 1989. And, of course, time will tell, but it looks like we're going to come through this okay.
Yeah, and only time's going to tell, Don, and it's not just that. I mean, it's the forage species, too. You know, what's this going to do to the shrimp crop? We got to wait and see how quick it bounces back. Hopefully we don't get that other one in February like some of the long-range stuff is saying, because you need your forage, you know, you need your shrimp and everything else to have a healthy crop in order to sustain it all.
Darryl, besides my website, give them yours at Real Screamers and also your phone number.
Yes, sir, realscreamers.com or 225-937-6288.
All right, and if you need a good plumber, give Darryl a call on Grand Isle. Darryl's Plumbing Service.
Yep, got plenty of PVC glue.
There you go. See you next week, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Darryl Carvin.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.